Coming up on Turf Weekly Edition, who's going to be the student speaker at this year's journalism graduation? You'll hear from all 14 candidates.
We'll tell you about a single event that brought together celebrities ranging from Sting and John Legend to Jesse Jackson and an Olympic gold medalist. And getting that golden glow may seem harmless, but could it also be addictive? Turf Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Turf Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Turf Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Turf Weekly Edition. I'm Shane Connolly.
And I'm Rebecca Goldberg.
In most cases, if someone tried to diss our beloved mascot Testudo, we teach each of them to fear the turtle. But in a comedy event unlike any other, campus comedians gathered for a roast of Testudo. Terp Weekly Edition's Emily Mechnick tells us what went down between our terrapin and the roasters.
All right, everybody. We're about to stand up here and make fun of one of the most beloved campus icons. But in reality, you guys should feel bad for Testudo. Did you know this guy was once engaged? It's true. But his fiance broke up with him, and she didn't even give his diamond back.
In the first ever Roast of Testudo, hosted by the off-campus Terps, several campus comedians gathered in the Baltimore Room of Stamp to take a shot at our very own mascot. Testudo himself sat center stage as roaster after roaster came to the mic to entertain the crowd.
Fear the turtle? On the list of scary things, turtles come after kittens and rainbows. Nobody screams when they see a turtle. They say, "Oh, turtle." But if there is somebody here that suffers from chelonophobia, look it up, it's a real word, fear of turtles, here's what you do if you see one. Walk.
Other mascots, like a tiger or something, if you conquer a tiger, it's accomplished. You can mount it on your wall and it's like, oh yeah, I hunted this tiger and I killed it and it was dangerous. But with a terrapin, it's like, I found this turtle in my ditch. So I made it into an ashtray. And it's really pretty.
There was quite the variety of roasters, including SGA President Steve Glickman, Dr. James from the ENSP department, quote, black Republican comedian and UMD alum Clyde Thompson, and a few members of the Bureau. When the roasters weren't making fun of Testudo, they even took jabs at each other.
Dr. Avery, what are you doing here? Did you move bingo nights to Friday? And the viewers are also, they brought all their cameras, they're hoping you get a picture of a laughing audience.
The idea of the roast comes from a show that airs on Comedy Central, and at the conclusion of the roasting, the victim, so to say, will have their rebuttal. True to the format of the show, Testudo had his chance to speak. Kind of.
Yeah, Testudo's been mute for a while. It's one of the things they teach you in SGA. Since he's the president, I'm one of the legislators. That's the reason why we actually get nothing done, because it takes so long to learn how to interpret Testudo.
As part of off-campus student appreciation week, students were given free t-shirts and were entered into a raffle to win a free iPod Touch, which one lucky student walked away with at the end of the night. But at the end of the roast, our mascot still held his head high. It just goes to show, Testudo is one tough Terp. In College Park, I'm Emily Mechnick for Terp Weekly Edition.
Last week, we told you that Steven Glickman won his bid for re-election as SGA president. But that victory is now clouded by charges of cheating. Members of Glickman's Your Party are accused of forcing students to vote for them in McAlden Library, as well as Glickman himself carrying a laptop around campus, asking students to vote for him using the computer. At this time, the election board has found no wrongdoing by Glickman or the Your Party.
There are more developments this week in the Duke basketball riot investigation. That night, 23 students were arrested. 6 students were charged with crimes related to the event, but now all charges against those 6 students have been dropped. There are still many questions about how the case is being handled by police, which has private investigator Sharon Weidenfield looking for answers. For a second time, she's placed an ad in the Diamondback asking students who may have been a witness to come forward. In a phone interview with Terp Weekly Edition, Weidenfield says it appears public sentiment locally and nationally, is turning towards the students, and she hopes that now more students will feel comfortable speaking out, despite the university policy on rioting. If you have any information regarding the events of March 4th, you can contact Weidenfield at 301-873-6969 or by email at sharonpi@aol.com.
Don't go away, because when we come back, you have Dots is Going Green.
Welcome back to TERP Weekly Edition. Throughout April, the university hosted activities celebrating the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, but there have been events all across the region and country. TERP Weekly Edition's Rebecca Goldberg followed many students who attended one of the largest Earth Day gatherings in history, and she shares the answer to the question, what is it about this event that attracts such a large college-age crowd?
Whoever said it's not easy being green must never have attended DC's annual Earth Day. Speakers, visitors, and volunteers made it look easy as they spent the day spreading awareness about environmental issues.
You and people like you across the country are feeding the environmental movement. And the 40th anniversary of Earth Day is a great time to take a look around and see what we've accomplished.
Traditional pamphlets and flyers were replaced by activities more appealing to the younger crowd.
So people can come in, you can work on a graffiti wall, and then you can send it via email or you can send out a Twitter to all your friends just to let them know you're out here at the Earth Day event.
The new attractions got students talking about this year's key topics, climate change and clean energy.
I think it's good that people are talking about it. I think it's an issue that people need to pay attention to, so it's good.
Volunteers also stressed that even the smallest change can make a big difference.
We are trying to get people to lower their plastic bag usage.
And while many got caught up in the cause, others weren't convinced.
There are aspects of it which are true, and there are problems, but not to the extent at which these people think there are.
But regardless of their beliefs, they found common ground in the most exciting part of the day, the performances. The college-age crowd was motivated by speeches and performances from artists like The Roots, Passion Pit, and Sting.
We're on the grass right in front of the stage, so listening to the music, listening to the inspirational speeches, hearing different coalitions coming together for the cause is really great.
Engaging the youth is important, as they're going to have to learn to live in this ever-changing environment. But regardless of age, we can all do our part to become part of the green generation. In Washington, D.C., I'm Rebecca Goldberg for TERP Weekly Edition.
To protect the Earth and the environment, the University of Maryland strives to reduce its carbon footprint and increase sustainability. The university overall is among the top 286 greenest campuses in the country, according to the Princeton Review. Maryland received a green rating of 95, which is a score based on several data points between 60 and 99. Recycling is one measure of Maryland's success, which has increased to 50% in a five-year period. In October of 2009, the university was named America's greenest campus by Climate Culture for having the largest number of campus community members to register to calculate their carbon footprint.
For years, we've heard about our car company's efforts to make their cars more environmentally friendly. Now, TERP Weekly Edition's Shane Connolly tells us how Dots is turning green.
The past few years, Dots tried a couple different programs to motivate people to leave the comforts of their own cars and join others when driving to and from campus. However, they only saw limited success, and now they're hoping the third time is the charm. This semester is the first semester for the new ZimRide program, which is a service that allows university students, faculty, and staff to see who else is driving from similar locations. The program then makes it easy for those individuals to coordinate rides together. And according to Dots Assistant Director Beverly Malone, there are plenty of people who wouldn't have to look very far to find a riding partner.
We also now have maps that show where our permit holders live. And they could, oh my God, like, they should totally carpool. I mean, a lot of people, I think, don't realize, and that's what's so cool about this. I think a lot of people don't realize how many people may even be living in their building where they're choosing to drive.
Although Zimrod can point out some obvious driving companions, Malone says one of the biggest drawbacks of the program is that since the software wasn't designed specifically for Maryland, it can suggest pairs that are close in terms of mileage, but inconvenient due to traffic in the DC area. However, Malone thinks students will actually benefit more from the ability to find one-time rides.
Really popular there in the 180 to 200 mile rides, like going home for spring break and Christmas and that kind of thing.
To add even more possibilities for those one-time trips, Dots recently announced that they are entering into a partnership with George Mason and American, adding students and staff from those universities to the list of possible driving partners. Despite the new easy system, Malone knows there's only one real way to ensure more people will carpool.
If in the future, when the university is a little bit more flush, I would want to offer a better discount for the carpool program. Right now, it's 50% off, which if you manage to find someone to carpool with on your own, you guys could go in one apartment.
Dots hopes to continue to expand the program in concert with the university's overall effort to reduce its carbon footprint. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Shane Connolly.
In other transportation news, Campus Drive may be shut down during the summer, eliminating all vehicle traffic except for two shuttle UM routes. As one of the busiest streets on the campus, many critics of the proposal worry that it will not only be an inconvenience, but that it will also jeopardize plans to construct the Purple Line, which is supposed to connect metro lines from Bethesda to New Carrollton. The decision to shut down Campus Drive comes from the administration's desire to know whether or not the restriction of transit should be included in the updated version of the university master plan.
Students lit candles at a memorial service for the victims of rape and sexual assault held at the Survivor Garden outside of the University Health Center last week. Terp Weekly Edition's Kiana Jones was there.
Do you know anything about the University of Maryland Survivor Garden?
No, I do not.
Survivor Garden? No, I don't.
Survivor Garden. I've heard of that. I don't know what it is, but I've heard of it.
Sexual Assault Response and Prevention Program Coordinator Allison Bennett tells us the Survivor Garden
is a memorial garden in honor of all the survivors of any kind of violence in the Maryland community. And so it's actually the garden that's here in front of the health center.
SARP, being the spearheads in this event, invited UMD's community to help dedicate the garden in October. Participants plant daffodils, a plant symbolizing hope and rebirth.
They begin the journey just like a victim would after they experience violence on our campus.
They then rededicate the garden when the flowers bloom in the spring.
The goal of this garden is to honor the healing that survivors go through and the strengths that survivors have to overcome what's happened to them.
During the rededication ceremony, candles were lit to represent survivors. Despite the win,
they're surviving.
Some students say the rededication opened their eyes to things happening on campus.
I thought it was moving. I mean, I guess I hadn't really thought about that happening on campus very much before.
While others embraced its symbolism.
I think it's pretty meaningful because, I mean, I was here in the fall when we planted the bulbs. I think it's representative of, like, the victims, like, surviving through the freshman room. It's a good event. It's very symbolic.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Kiana Jones.
So, who do you want to be the student speaker at the journalism graduation? All 14 candidates join Terp Weekly Edition when we return. to the tanning salon just got more dangerous. New studies suggest this seemingly innocent activity could be addictive. Terp Weekly Edition's Missy Huber has the story.
You've heard of addictions to drugs, gambling, and even love, but now, tanning beds? A new study suggests indoor tanning could lead to tanorexia.
Definitely a lot of the people, like, we get repeat customers just because they have packages.
But still, Danielle, a tanning associate at a local salon, isn't convinced.
I don't think it has any, like, ingredients to make you, like, fiend for tanning. It's just a preference of, you know, appearance. I think you can get addicted to, like, cigarettes and, you know, stuff like that, but not tanning. I don't believe that.
However, Carl Lejeway from the Center for Addiction, Personality, and Emotional Research says that tanning is a psychological addiction.
Certainly with drugs, there's a physical component where when someone's not using the drug, they have this kind of withdrawal syndrome, and that has been classically how we think about an addiction. There's no reason why we can't also consider behaviors that have a psychological, so behaviors like gambling or eating. And when it comes to that, I think tanning fits pretty well in terms of thinking of it as an addiction.
Lejeway says to look at the criteria for addictions. Does the person break plans with friends or skip class to go tanning instead?
It might be something where if they can't go, they might feel this anxiety or worry or sense that they need to do whatever they have to find a way to do that.
But there is hope.
It doesn't mean simply because you're addicted that you have no choice or that you know, you can't stop yourself from going or that you can't get through it. The first question is kind of what's the function of it? Why is it so important to tan? What are the, you know, is it for aesthetic or beauty reasons? Is it because it's the only 10 minutes out of the day where you relax and kind of don't think about your other problems? Is it just become this pattern and you don't kind of really think about it?
Once you know why tanning has become an important part of your life, you can find other ways to satisfy those needs. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Missy Huber.
Men's basketball's longest tenured assistant coaches is leaving the university to become top dog somewhere else. Chuck Drizel, son of legendary Terrapin coach Lefty Drizel, has accepted the head coaching position at the Citadel. Drizel has been an assistant coach and the recruiting coordinator at his alma mater for the past four seasons, which is currently underway for Drizel's replacement.
Every year, the College Park Scholars host a softball tournament. And Terp Weekly Edition's Tony Herman went to the game and found out that at this game, everyone's a winner.
Meet Barry Schreiber. She's a College Park Scholar in the Arts and came to Maryland far more interested in music than she did in sports. So why'd she wake up early on a Saturday morning to play softball in the sweltering heat?
I mean, it's just really fun. It's nice because it's for charity, so it's really, like, it's just a fun thing to do.
The tournament is unique because it puts everyone in the College Park Scholars against one another, a rarity considering groups usually stick to themselves.
The scholars don't really do much else in terms of, like, together. I feel like we're all really pretty separate. So it's nice to get to see everyone else in the scholars program.
So what's Schreger's favorite part of the tournament?
I like the healthy competition. I like definitely that part. And, of course, I mean, it's for kids. It's for the kids. It's good.
The competition she refers to isn't just about the playing field either. All 12 scholars programs raise money for charities prior to the tournament, which factors into their initial seeding and serves as a tiebreaker. In addition, the teams placing first, second, and third all receive money for their charities of choice. So when members of public leadership celebrated their second championship in a row, other groups could remember the reason they came out in the first place.
I want to step up to bat for kids. I want to get out, enjoy the air, the people, you know, have some fun.
And look forward to next year.
Will you be doing this again next year?
Oh, I most definitely will.
Yeah, I definitely plan on it, yeah.
In College Park, Maryland, I'm Tony Herman, Terp Weekly Edition.
Go.
Oh, my God!
Go. Go.
Go. He wants a pizza, kid. He wants pizza.
14 graduating seniors were selected as finalists to be the student speaker at the Merrill College commencement. Only one will be on stage on the day of graduation, but Terp Weekly Edition talked with everyone on the shortlist. We asked them what they would say to their classmates if they had the opportunity.
Hi, I'm Eric Detweiler, and I think that my main thing that I'm looking to get across at this point is we've spent 4 years here trying to work towards not being a statistic. You know, we've had a lot of opportunity, and now it's the time when we get to use everything we've gotten here, and I'm just really excited about getting out in the world, and I think that we've all been given a great chance, and it's time to go.
Hi, my name is Kyle Kuhn. And for commencement, the message I would give to students is that students have earned the right to demand rich and rewarding experiences in their lives, and that the world has a way of granting success to those who seek it.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hare. I would like to discuss not only our accomplishments here at the university, but also our opportunities in the future. It's wonderful to look back on what we have done here as journalism students, but what is even more remarkable is where we're going. Now that we're graduating, we shouldn't define ourselves only as reporters or writers. Each of us is going to use the skills we have learned here differently, and each of us is going to find a unique way to define what journalism students can do.
Hi, I'm Evan Lambert, senior broadcast journalism major, and what I would say to my peers at commencement would just be, obviously I want to be one of the first people to share the congratulations, and I'd also share with them that this is the end of an important chapter of our lives, but it marks a great new beginning, and the success that we've had here and in finishing our undergraduate careers is only the beginning. And I would just tell them to go and be successful and do great things post undergrad.
My name is Bradley Migdahl. I'm a senior broadcast journalism major from Long Island, New York. I know in the years since our graduating class has been here that the journalism profession has changed an incredible amount. And I think it's important as we move forward with our lives and careers to remember what we've learned here and take those experiences with us, because the profession will only continue to change more. And if we remember what we've learned here, I think we'll be able to change the profession in a positive way in the generation to come.
My name is Pete Muntean. I'm a graduating senior journalism major, and I plan on being a TV news reporter. I came to this program as a transfer student, having just lost my mother, and it was a time of great transition in my life. And in this program, in this school, I really found my voice and my purpose. So the sentiment I want to convey to my graduating class is my personal motto, and I think it's applicable in life and as soon-to-be professional journalists. It's Per Arda ad Astra, through struggles to the stars.
My name is Stephen Overly, and I'm a print journalism major. I think students are going to be leaving this college and going into careers like education and law. And regardless, and even though those aren't journalism, you're still going into that as a clear communicator, as a fact checker, and as a truth teller. And those are all skills that we learned here in the journalism college. So I think those elements should be highlighted in the graduation speech.
My name is Brittany Borgie, and I can't believe that I'm graduating this semester. What I'd want to say to everybody as we stand at graduation, looking out into the rest of our lives, is how do we figure out how to navigate what lies ahead of us and all the infinite choices that lie ahead of us? And to me, that means continuing the process of finding out who we are as individuals and what we love as individuals, and hitching yourself to what it is you're passionate about, because there's so much out there. There's so much life out there. There's so much to love out there. And I think doing that and just finding your passion, being true to yourself, and being good to the people who are good to you is enough to get you through.
I'm Ben Slivnik. I'm a senior at the Philip Merrill College of Journalism, about 2 weeks away from graduating. And I think when I leave college, the one lesson that will really endure with me is the importance of curiosity and asking good questions. Personally, I'm going on to teaching, not journalism, but I think in anything that you do, if you lead your life with curiosity, life will become more interesting and more fulfilling. And I just think it's very important to always be thinking of good questions and never being afraid to ask them.
Hi, my name is Allison Frick, and here's the message I would like to share. I think as journalism students, oftentimes we get caught up in the day-to-day and planning ahead for the future, and I would like you all to take the time on graduation day to reflect on your accomplishments and to look back over the past 4 years and not to underestimate what you have learned and what you have achieved. Philip Merrill College of Journalism is a school of tough love, and I think that standing here at graduation proves that you have the skill sets and the determination to succeed no matter what the job market's like.
I am Laura Grammer. I am a senior journalism and government and politics major. I guess my advice for my graduating class would be just to do everything that you do in life to the fullest extent of your abilities and to just try as hard as you can, and you know, everything will work out.
My name is Rob Gindis, and I would like to be graduation speaker because it would guarantee me a seat at the graduation ceremony, of which my parents already have tickets, and to be honest, my grades are just not in the position right now that I would think that I would get to that ceremony otherwise. But on a serious note, some people think I'm a humorous person, and I would guarantee a speech that would be entertaining, at least to me.
Hi, I'm Allison Lehman. I think my message can be summed up by my favorite quote, "Be in love with your life." I hope in some way our time here has helped each of us get a little closer to doing just that.
Hey, I'm Greg Sussman, and I just want to say that if selected, I realize that I would be representing all of my graduating peers, and that we should have no fear of the unknown, as life is full of challenges. Perhaps our biggest challenge? Figuring out the next step after an incredible 4 years. I love you, Olive. Olive.
That'll do it for this week's Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Rebecca Goldberg.
And I'm Shane Connolly. We'll be back next week with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you could take us with you. You could find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu. Have a great week.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.